Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Pedro Mongiardino. He is the Managing Director of Strategio Consulting based in Portugal. First and foremost, Pedro, very welcome to this online interview.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you. Portugal is a favorite country of mine, and I still look forward to visit the country again and try some more of your good wines. anyway, we need to get into gear. I always give my interviewees a chance to introduce a little bit about their background. So what can you tell me, Pedro, where are you from? What is your past? I know you have a big past, among others, in Africa. Now you're living in Portugal. Who are you, basically?
Well, my name is Pedro Mongiardino. I was born in the Azores, an archipelago in the middle of the Atlantic.
Yes.
And where I grew up, I took my law degree in Lisbon. Mm-hmm. And then I went with my wife to Mozambique in 1997, where we landed on the 10th of August. Mm-hmm. The reason why we decided to go there is because we didn't want to live in Portugal. And so I started to work in administrative and financial roles in ships agent companies.
Okay, wow.
That's where my background started. I first started in a very well-known Portuguese group called Orei, mm-hmm. Where I did set up P&O Ned Lloyd reporting system in Mozambique, where we get the agency.
Okay.
Then I moved to the biggest shipping company at the time in Mozambique called Manica Freight Services. The Mozambican team did a management buyout to the South African shareholders.
Okay.
And at the time, I was also, 1 year later, I was the project manager for Manica for the concession of the port of Nacala to private entities in the railway line from Nacala to Malawi, in the entire network of the Malayan roadway infrastructure.
Wow.
So I did it until 2004. And that gave me a lot of experience in something that today it's difficult to find, yeah, which is handle documentation and understanding the flow process of the documentation within companies.
Right.
Mozambique is a very big country. So yes, you have 2,000, 3,000 kilometers distance between branches. You didn't have emails at the time. So it was a very good school to analyze documents, to analyze procedures, and foremost, to understand how the system materially worked without the informatic systems.
Yes.
So after 2004, I decided to leave this country, these companies, and I decided to start my own freight forwarding business.
Okay.
So I already had the experience of the administration financial side, and then I went to the running side. So I did set up a very small company called International Logistics Services. But then we went after a partner, and I found a person that I need to mention here, which was my reference in the industry. You don't find in this industry, I have 24 years of experience, you don't find very often people like this person that I found, which was Mr. Peter Kraft, was the managing director of Holy Grindrod in South Africa.
Oh, yeah, Grindrod, yes.
So we brought them to Mozambique, me and a friend of mine, Jose Maria. We were shareholders of the company.
Okay.
And I did assist Grindrod in supporting their decision to invest in Mozambique, where they finally decided to be a shareholder of the port of Maputo at the time.
Okay.
Where they joined forces with Dubai, Dubai World, DP World, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then in 2007, I did an oil and gas project in Mozambique with Holic for Sasol, phase mm-hmm. 2 in Temane.
Okay.
Basically, we moved about 250,000 tons of cargo from Maputo port to 950K north of Maputo.
Wow.
So that gave me a very good leverage of managing, because, you know, in these countries in Africa, where you, I would say, I don't know Africa all the way, but except South Africa, when you are a managing director, you do more than a managing director role. So
yes,
it gave me a lot of experience from the material operation side to know how it works. So I had the formal I have a formal education, having a law degree. Then I did the administration, and then I did the operations. And then in 2014, I decided to change again.
Okay.
I did, because running companies in these countries it's very challenging.
Yeah.
So I decided to set up a logistics consulting company, which is, given my experience to analyze risk, to foresee problems, I thought that my best role would be to assist companies and investors to decrease their risk of operations of in or investment in basically in East Africa, where I did most of my work in Mozambique.
Right.
And then I did set up that. And since 2019, I started to shift a little bit my assistance to the humanitarian aid relief help.
Oh, yeah.
And then I did a very big operation with the Portuguese Red Cross to the supply of sending aid relief to Idai Cyclone in Beira.
Mm-hmm.
I was the logistic manager for it. I did it on the voluntary work.
Yeah.
We did manage to include this operation in the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent.
Okay, wow.
And then last year, I was invited by the government of the Azores to be the coordinator of the COVID vaccination in Portugal, where I worked closely with Admiral Gouveia Melo, which gave us the lead worldwide on vaccination first in 2 doses in a short period of time. In this year, I did a completely wild operation from starting with some friends, which was to find and bring from Ukraine surrogate mothers from Portuguese parents that they lost their surrogate mothers.
Wow.
To try to get them out. So this is more or less what Pedro Mojardino does. So I'm a man of logistics. I love to solve problems, like Mr. Peter Kraft used to say, you give me problems, I want to solve problems. And that's what I really like to do, is to set up operations where there's nothing to do and you need the ideas and people that know how the system works.
Yes, no, I'm very impressed with your with your resume here. I mean, from the Azores ending up in Mozambique, and then also being involved with the various both logistics and project enterprises. Very impressive. So Strategio Consulting, that means you're open for work from anyone that needs, let's say I have a company that needs help with a big project in Mozambique or in East Africa. You could guide them on solutions and how to do.
Completely.
I suppose you would be a perfect fit for that, right?
Completely that. One of the things that I have specialized myself is to have a strategy for any type of operations. That's the best investment you can do.
Yeah.
It's not a waste of time. Because when the strategy is poor, or when you don't have a strategy, the multiplicator factor of disaster, it's huge.
Yeah.
So being from the Azores, I have a characteristic, is I'm a very suspicious person. When I lived in Africa for all these years.
Yes.
And then I was a finance director. Then I have a law degree. So I know what are the levels of liability, where it starts, where it ends.
Yes, yes.
So in giving all these horizontal and vertical knowledge, I can be definitely the person that can analyze risks. And sometimes I do works for the World Bank, for example, as a consultant.
Okay.
So I have that experience, and that's what I really like to do. Yeah. Not only in Mozambique,
in
African countries or any other country for projects.
Yes, understand. I mean, do you miss Africa? I mean, there are some people who say that once you have Africa in your blood, you can't really get it out. Is that so?
I love Africa. I would say that was the period of my life where I was most happy.
Mm.
Africa will always stay in my heart. But I feel that today there is a new trend in Europe, which we were talking about before this interview, which is, I'll try to say it in English, it's not an easy word. It's not my mother language, which is unpredictability.
Unpredictability.
That's and I correct. Love to work under this status.
Yes.
And one of the things I've noticed when we did the vaccination program here in Portugal, was the following, which I think is really important. Maybe in North Europe, people already have thought about that more easily because you're quite more advanced than we are down here in the South.
Mm-hmm.
In Africa, you live with uncertainty every day, every hour.
That's right.
So we are used to have problems. I lived in Portugal for quite a lot of years. I have business in Mozambique at the moment. Every time I wake up in the morning, I'm not as stressed as I used to be because I know I have to sort out problems.
Yes.
Going to the material side of it, in the vaccination side, when we started in Portugal mainland and in the Azores to start looking for data, what everybody found is that the health systems didn't provide you with the data that you needed to create something new. Why? Because the variables that existed in the reality were not on the systems.
Right.
So what was needed to do to find people that could find those variables and make new applications to add to the systems. That wasn't even time to make new systems.
Right.
You had to adapt a solution. In the Portuguese mainland, Admiral Gouveia Melo and myself in the Azores, we were not from the health service.
No.
We were specialists. Admiral Gouveia Melo, much bigger personality than me, I'm very small, he's a fantastic person, he's a military. So what happened is that we went to look for solutions outside of the health system to provide with a systematic work and a vaccination program that could lead us in a short period of time to get high percentages of vaccinations.
Mm.
And that created, in my opinion, is creating in Europe one trend for business, which is to find people with international careers that work in places where you have problems every day, because those are the ones that can more easily see the risks, foresee what is coming, and to provide solutions for the right path.
Yes.
Because currently in Europe, the uncertainty in everything, it's like, for example, how the Northern European countries in all of Europe are going to pay for the electricity bills or gas bills this year. Nobody knows. So
nobody knows.
I'm just trying to give one of the many examples that of this new trend. And I think that from when you work in logistics, when you used to work with companies, when you see reality from a certain perspective, you have the capacity to see the signs and to assist governments, companies, NGOs, and even families to organize ourselves in a way so that you can reduce the risk of your operation.
Mm.
I'm saying this because when we did this Ukrainian operation that probably we'll talk about later on, I have decided with the friends of mine that we are creating at the moment in Portugal a consultant company just for cooperation development and emergencies.
Yes.
Which is something that the governments do not have the capacity to do anymore. And people need someone to assist them, even their companies, to reduce their risk of operations when they work in scenarios where danger might appear from places that they are not even expecting for.
Yeah. No, but I think I agree with you. The logistics, the whole logistics education gives, because every day is different. You have to think and adapt as you go along. And that gives you a lot of experience you can use elsewhere. I also have heard that if you have a logistics background, you can take any kind of job because it's the best diverse education you can get. And a lot of the robots coming out of the universities, they don't know anything about anything. They can read books, but they have no idea about life at all.
Yes.
So it's we need people like you. May I just, before we go on to your Ukraine venture, just focus a little bit about Mozambique once again. How do you see the development in Mozambique? There's this huge Cabo Delgado project in the north. It was stopped for a while for these Muslim insurgents or terrorists or whatever they call themselves. How do you see the country Mozambique from a logistics standpoint? There must be a lot of potential there. I mean, everyone's eyes in East Africa has been on that enormous gas field, isn't it? Speaking of gas.
Yes. I'm a big fan of Mozambique. Yeah. I think it's a great country. But you know, countries are what the political elite decides what the country is going to be.
Yeah.
I have, from all these years in Mozambique, I assist to the privatization of the management of the ports, okay. Maputo, Beira-Nacala.
Yeah.
And you could, after a few years, you could see the great growth of these ports. I would say Maputo and Beira, which are the biggest ones at the moment, where you see the rehabilitation of the ports, the money spent was absolutely huge for Mozambican standards.
Right.
And then the fact that the new shareholders were operators in other hemispheres, it gave to these ports the transit capacity that they used to have before the independence and that they have overpassed them already. So I would say that that decision from the government was very smart. It was due to conditions, economic conditions, but like in every country in the world, when you privatize, it's because you need someone to take over and take care of it. I would like to make a reference before I go to the oil and gas to the port of Beira, where the interland business is absolutely huge. And companies like MSC, now they do have a hub for their containers and big vessels coming in.
Mm.
Also, the investment made in the port of Maputo is quite substantial, where they have vessels of draft of 14.5 meters coming in to get coal. And so the investment has been very good. Why am I raising these two issues? And now we're going to compare it with the north of Mozambique. For two reasons. First, because there is infrastructure. So there was an infrastructure built that in Afungi and Palma doesn't exist. But you can build infrastructure if you have safety.
Exactly.
And you don't have safety in that area for various reasons. And before I go there, I even want to mention something which I think is important. The issue of the hidden debts in Mozambique did create a big off balance in the company. Because before that, there was some kind of projects and economics going on that we could see that the country would grow, not only with these mega projects, like we call them in Mozambique, but because we had some economic activity that was starting to grow. We have in the interland in that province, the coal project, which is carrying on with the variations of the coal. Those mines close and then they go up. And then you have the oil and gas projects.
Right.
I would say to the oil and gas industry, projects in Mozambique, we need to see it from the external side and internal side.
Mm.
On the external side, we must understand that there is much more reserves of natural gas in the world besides Mozambique.
Yeah.
So the opportunity, and this is very important for the Mozambican government, the Mozambicans, to understand that they are not the only ones with that gold mine on their feet.
So if I may just quickly ask, in a way, if I'm correctly in assuming, you are indicating a little bit that they have become a bit proud because of this gas. Is that what you mean? I would
say definitely that. And I would say that probably they didn't take in consideration variations in the world that happens.
Yeah.
If you have, for example, let me give an example. If you have other countries in the world where the production cost is lower, the speed of this project will not go as fast as we think it should be. Because Total companies, Chevron, and these other companies, they are everywhere. So they take possession of these projects and they will start to balance their balance sheet in terms of investment by selling what they can sell with lower costing of production price. So I will say to take that in consideration, it's really important. Then you have the internal side. You will see that there are two major oil and gas projects in Mozambique with two differences of strategy, completely different.
Yeah.
You have the offshore project and the inshore project. The offshore project did not have any delay. They did the floating procurement. They built it in South Korea. It's working.
Mm.
Everything is working. And then you have Total project that it is an inshore project. Well, they do have this facility inshore, which is creating a lot of problems due to insecurity. Now, if we compare the costs of these projects to extract natural gas on floating devices in the ICE and in inshore,
Yeah.
The ones that are offshore are much more expensive, but they are working. So besides the fact that you have a production cost that is different inshore or offshore,
mm-hmm.
you have now an insecurity issue that it's very, I think it's going to be very difficult to put aside.
Yeah. So you think that the Cabo Delgado will not, I mean, it'll be delayed indefinitely. There's...
I think that one of two things are going to happen. The first thing that will not happen is the abandonment of that project. I don't think they're going to, that's not going to happen.
No, they will keep it.
They will, definitely, because the reserves are huge. But I would say that they will probably one of two options. There will be a delay, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And most probably, I think they might try to change the inshore to the offshore.
Yeah.
And that is a big problem in terms of costing again. With the situation of war in Ukraine, and with the escalation of costs everywhere, to have more variables of high cost production can even go to a further delay.
Yeah.
Because if you ask for these floating ships that they are doing, they will take three or four years to be done. So it's a big problem. And there's one more thing that is quite damaging if things don't change rapidly in terms of safety in Mozambique. This is, and I'm talking, I am included in what I'm going to say. This is the biggest opportunity for all these companies in Mozambique to participate in these projects. We have been waiting for this project for more than 10 years. So all the work to be done in camps, in cities to be made, in plants, in equipment, it is a huge opportunity.
Yes.
So without peace, there's no development.
No, of course. But if we round this off and just say in general, if any of our viewers are involved, and which I believe some of our viewers are, into logistics and delivering equipment for this project, and if they need help, certainly you would be available to guide them and give them some good ideas with all your years of experience in Mozambique, I should think, right?
Yeah. For sure, yes.
Okay.
I will be more than available for that.
Okay,
yes.
That's good to hear. Then one of the final notes, I'd like to just ask you, because we all, let's say, human being, and we all want to do good here in life before we exit this life. We know that we are going to go someday, and we know that the taxes are here. So death and taxes, of that we are sure. But one question I'd like to ask you about the thing you're doing in Ukraine, which was invaded by Russia. Tell our viewers a little bit about, you mentioned surrogate. Tell us a little bit about, in fact, what are you doing there?
Okay, I was in Mozambique on the 25th of February when I received a call from a friend of mine saying that a friend of hers and her wife, they had a surrogate mother. They gave birth to twins in Kiev.
Okay.
The war that started 3 days ago, and she needed to take the babies out.
Right.
She asked me for help.
Okay.
So, short story, I managed to take them out to Poland.
Okay.
And then 19 other Portuguese couples contacted me and asked me to assist to find and convince their surrogate mothers and families that wanted to come to Portugal to leave the country.
Okay.
So we got in touch with the Portuguese Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Okay.
We gave all the information. We got people in Poland, Hungary, Moldavia, and Bucharest.
Okay.
To assist and ask, we started a logistic operation.
Yes.
Which was to move those people, to convince them to exit, to move the parents or people that could assist them to the borders, because it's a huge and dangerous place for trafficking of people.
Yeah.
Mothers living with the kids because the parents couldn't leave because of the martial law.
No.
And we did that all in terms of voluntary. So we then got psychological support to the Portuguese parents in Portugal.
Okay.
We assist them coming to Portugal, registration. We managed to convince the government to find ways for those babies to become sons of the Portuguese parents due to legal issues that needed to take to change, which was done. And then when we were doing this, and I was in Mozambique, and then I was in Portugal, we decided, since we have done previous operations, that now it was time to start a new service, which is to provide emergency service in these situations for companies, governments, and families that need our assistance. I think this is what we, the new trend of the impracticability that we have nowadays is people with knowledge of logistics and have the contacts and know how these operations are done.
Yes.
So I risk operations, but that's the way. Yeah. That's what we are going to do.
Yeah. I must say, I'm very impressed. I mean, you've certainly proven your worth, not only from a business perspective, but also from a human kindness perspective. And people are standing there and you have big organizations like governments and whatnot, and nothing happens. They only can do quote unquote. They need people who can go in between and sort out the solutions and have boots on the ground, so to speak. And I think you are a very practical man, and you also know you have the theory background, but you can also do something, not only talk about it.
And, you know, Bo, nowadays with the less spectrum of the governments, countries' governments has less power than they used to have.
Yeah, that's right.
And one of the countermeasures was the fact that today you can do anything because you have access to a lot of information.
Right.
So I see that as a good opportunity for people who has the skills and tools to do these things. It's like any lesson in life that we learn. We don't wait for people to do things we know how to do it. We do it ourselves. Of course, there are risks, and you need to advise them of the risks. But I would say that definitely this is an area I like to work with risk and emergencies. It's really what is. I think at 55, I know exactly what I want to do.
Well, you look. You are certainly 55 is no age. We still have. I'm 59, so we still have. Let's say another 25 years to go. So
exactly.
Another quarter. But listen, Pietro. Most interesting. First logistics, then let's say human resources and human action, and really a versatile gentleman. You have proven to be. Very impressive. I want to thank you officially for this interview, Pietro. Thank you.
I appreciate the invitation. Thank you very much for meeting me. And whenever you come to Portugal, please let me know. And I will take you to the Azores, the most beautiful place in the world, I can assure you.
I would love to go there. I've never been, but I would love to. I want to say also to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Pietro Mongiardino. He is the Managing Director of Strategio Consulting and an expert in logistics, foreign assistance, I may say, and solving practical problems of a diverse nature. So it's been good talking to him. Stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you very much.